Hey everyone, this is Caitlin again. I want to welcome you to Grace Week. This is a time we set aside every year to honor the week leading up to Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Once again this year, our good friend and my uncle's Pastor Pete Wilson joins Unscripted. Our friends Tori and Shauna join us too. This year, we look at Luke chapter 6. Pastor Pete will walk us through the community of the withered hand. We invite you to join us on the Unscripted, but most importantly, join the community of the withered hand. Now, here's my Uncle Aaron and his pastor, Pete Wilson.
I would like to formally welcome you all to Grace Week. This is Aaron. I am joined this week by Pete Wilson, the music of Tori and Shauna, and of course, our director of awesome, Miss Kay. We will break down a sermon that I hope that you heard. It's episode 275. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, please go back and listen to that. It is posted wherever you get your podcasts. But it's episode 275, and it's a sermon that Pete Wilson gave in January of this year at Northridge Church. He was kind enough to allow me to use that so that you all could have the context of what we're going to do this week. And that is Pete and I every day will take a little bit of that sermon and break it down even more. I have a chance to ask him questions. And honestly, we get honest about some things as well. So thank you for joining us for Grace Week. This is the very first part of that episode and interview. Thank you again. I hope you enjoy Grace Week. And most of all, happy Easter. All right, everybody, welcome back to Unscripted from my studios in Hilliard, Ohio, my Jersey the Hope studios. It is Grace Week, and I can't think of anybody else that I want to join me for Grace Week than my guy, Pastor Pete Wilson. Thank you for being back again for another year. We have put out episode one. It is kind of marinating with people right now. I've received so many messages, which I've shared with you as well. Man, welcome back.
Oh, man, it's an honor to be back. I love Grace Week. It's a good week.
It is a good week. It's an incredible week, which is why I take time to pause to do that. You're fighting through the flu, so it's a flu game. Like MJ, yep. Man, you're just fighting through it, so thank you for doing that as well.
Of course, man. Yeah, sorry I sound so nasally.
It's perfect. It's perfect. It's Grace Week, so there's grace, right? All right, let's start at the very beginning, because we have five things I want to talk about. This message, let's just start at the very beginning. For anyone that heard the message, this message was laid on your heart, and it is tucked in the scripture somewhere. I think most of us breeze over it. As you said in your incredible message, what led you to record this message or just share it?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, it's interesting these days. I don't speak at a lot of churches, but I speak at a handful of churches, and often it's not like it used to be for me, where I kind of got to create my own content and go in whatever direction I wanted to. So this was somewhat of an assignment. And I remember first looking at the story like, seriously, like, this is my assignment? Like, could I have another story? Give me the prodigal son. Give me, you know, like, something like that. Yeah. But I was like, all right. So just started kind of diving into it. And there was a lot more there than I think I originally thought there was. And it just really intrigued me, this whole, and it intrigued me from the standpoint of like, why have I don't think, and I think I said this in the message, I don't think I've ever spoke on this particular story, maybe referenced it inside of a message, maybe, but I don't even remember that. So I was kind of surprised that I had never really touched on this. But as I said in the message, I think the reason I haven't, and the reason you don't hear a whole lot about this story, I don't think anybody's intentionally avoiding it. I think it's that at first glance, it seems a little less remarkable than a lot of the other miracles that Jesus did. You know, he's healing the guy with the withered hand. Like, that stinks for that guy. But like, when you raise Lazarus from the dead, like,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
The withered hand thing, you know what? It doesn't seem like, so I think that's why you got so many miracles that Jesus did. This one kind of gets just glanced over.
Because on the resume, it's probably not a highlight, right? It's not a bullet point.
Right.
Right. Hey, saved my friend from the, brought my friend back from dead, turned water to wine, turned five loaves into, you know, fed a whole crowd.
Yeah.
I don't know. This dude with a withered hand probably doesn't really make a big thing. I want to talk about this first. You said name your shame. And that is the essence and beauty of why I think you and I were connected on why we should share this week is we all have shame. All of us.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, anybody listening right now knows as soon as I said those words and when they heard you say those words, they know what that is. And that's okay. That's the beauty of your message to all of us and the beauty of this week and the importance of Good Friday is we all have it. We all have it. And so, man, it just was so powerful. So I'm so glad that you felt led to speak to it the way that you did, man. And it's only in my favorite pastor's words that you could deliver that. And so I want to give you the flowers as well to say you did it so well, man. You did. Because you took this little story. It's this little story. Like, it's not breaking news, but man, it was important. And I guarantee you it's going to be really important for a lot of people this week. At least I hope. And I think you and I are praying for that.
Absolutely. I really do. That's it. That's, you know, if we can move the needle a little bit for somebody, if they can take one more step towards some kind of freedom, then let's do that. Like, I think that's what it's all about.
I think one of my favorite things that you said was expose the things that brings you shame. But there was a line there where you said he had to stand up in front of everyone.
Yeah.
And it was the everyone that he had to stand up in front of. Man, that just, every time I hear that, I've listened to this message probably 30 times. Man, every time I hear that, it wasn't just for him. And so I think we want people to hear that too. I don't want to speak for you. I want you to speak. You're way more eloquent than I am.
So much power in that. And I think that one of the first interesting things that popped out at me in the story was that, you know, most of the people who came to Jesus for healing came to him, requested it. You know, they sought him out. They followed him. They had seen what he had done and they were like eager to say, heal this, heal that, right? And but you, this guy, not so much, right? He does not ask for the healing. Like, Jesus points him out, calls him out. And I think that that's unique. And I think part of the reason that he did that is because people who have a lot of shame around a particular issue in their life don't feel worthy to even ask. Like, so for me, I'm like, well, why didn't he seek Jesus out? Did he not believe that Jesus could do it? I think it was probably more he didn't think Jesus would be willing to do it.
Right.
Because I think there's a lot of, you know, in that day and age around a withered hand, there's a certain stigma. And there was stigma with all kinds of physical disabilities back then where people thought it was a curse from God. So they had done something wrong and the parents had done something wrong. And so it wasn't just a withered hand. There's a stigma that came along with that, that you were less than, that you were not worthy of like a normal life. So I think because of that, he didn't have the confidence. He didn't have the courage. And I think you and I talked about this at some point in a previous interview, but I felt that in my own life. In the period of my greatest shame, I didn't even have the confidence to call friends and say, help me. Right. I didn't think I was worthy of that, for them to answer the phone and to actually help me walk through that. And I also think about the prodigal son. He did the same thing. When he comes back, he literally says, I'm not worthy to even ask my father to take me back as a son. I'm just going to show up and see if he'll let me be a servant. So when we have shame, there's this inherent thing inside of us where we feel like we're not worthy. We're not valued. We're not owed forgiveness. Like, or not even that we're owed. We're not deserving of it.
Right.
We're not deserving of healing. And so that was the first interesting thing that popped out at me is like Jesus had to literally call this guy out. In the same way in the prodigal son story, the father had to run to the son. Doesn't make sense. The son should have been the one running to the father, right? He's the one who needed acceptance, forgiveness, value. But he was so beaten down that he couldn't do it. And, you know, I think sometimes in the church world, we just expect that people are going to just run to the church and say, here's everything I'm struggling with. Help me.
Yeah.
But a vast majority of them don't even feel like they're worthy to walk through the door, much less come in and be honest about the stuff that they're struggling with.
Spoiler alert. If you haven't listened, go back and listen. Like that is, it is critical that you listen to that message first. You said that if they're standing right now, don't ask.
Yeah.
Like, right? Today's their day. This is their moment that they're expressing that they are doing that. And so, but I sent out a text to like five, six people at the worst moment of my life. And here's what I want to say is, if they're your people, if it's your tribe, it's your village, a few were really mad, but they were like, I'm here for you. Right.
Yeah.
And that is it, man. That it is for the everyone, because now those same people are celebrating my, I don't want to call it success, just my victories.
That's right.
Right. And man, it is.
You allowed them to be a part of your journey.
Exactly. I love it. Yep. Right. And that's it. That's why it wasn't just for him. Yes. Jesus healed his hand, but it was for everyone in that room to know. Yeah. And the everyones are the ones that are going to come rally around you. And I know it doesn't feel like it. I trust me, hear my voice. Mm-hmm. If you feel like you're in shame today, you're afraid that if you share that, then people are going to judge you. And yeah, some might, but the people closest to you are going to be there and say, I'm sorry, I'm here with you. And they'll actually celebrate your recovery, whatever that might be. Again, we're going to talk about, yep, you know, whatever topic this hits on for people in their shame.
Yep. And if they don't, like, because I think we should address that, right? Like,
sure.
What happens if you share it with the two or three people in your inner circle and they don't respond with grace, but respond with judgment? That'll be painful, extremely painful. And it's not likely that that will happen. But if it does happen, I think that gives you the opportunity to say, maybe I've got the wrong inner circle.
Right.
Right? Maybe I need to seek another community that might be willing to meet me where I'm at.
Mm.
And sometimes you have to do that, right? I mean, that's why we have communities like AA, and we have churches, and we have, like, these are hopefully intentionally created communities where if you don't find it in your current community, you got to go somewhere and find that place. Again, not that's just saying, oh, you're fine, you're good, just keep doing whatever you're doing, but we'll meet you where you're at and love you through that process of healing.
Can I testify? Yeah. I've been held by the Savior. I feel fire from above, and I've been down to that river. Oh yes, I have, but I ain't the same. A prodigal return. That's why I say, all my hope is in Jesus.
All my sins are forgiven.
High. say, all my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Unscripted Podcast. Make sure to review and share wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps out our mission to encourage everyone to live life unscripted. Until next time, keep living life unscripted.